turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. As I told you earlier, we're going to preach and teach this morning a little bit about fasting. And the title of this sermon will be Fasting, Setting Your Course for the Year. Setting your course for the year. For several years now, our entire congregation has participated in a 21-day fast. The reason we fast corporately at the beginning of the year is to set the course for this entire year. Our scripture passage today is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So as we set the course for the new year, we are saying, namely, we are dedicating our lives, dedicating our decisions, dedicating our purpose and our course to the Lord. In other words, we're saying that God, we are going to be continually absorbed in a search for something, and we're going to be diligent and strenuous in seeking your will and your way. We're setting our course. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God. We're laying aside the first 21 days of the year to say, God, you are of the utmost importance to me and my life. Without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. So we're setting our course today, this year. And that's why we encourage you to participate in this fast. There's three good reasons that we want to talk about as we begin this today, to begin the year with a fast and why it's a good practice. Number one, by doing so you set the course for the entire year. You are just as simply as the prayer would set the course for a day and cover everything that might happen to you in that particular day. Fasting sets the course for the year and everything that might happen to you in the year. You become more spiritually aware during a fast. You become more in tune with God during your fast. You begin to pray and seek God and put Him first and crucify the flesh. I know about crucifying the flesh by not eating. I like to eat, and it shows in the size of my body. I eat too much sometimes, and it just likes to stay with me. But when I fast, I'm saying, God, you're more important than satisfying the cravings of this fat body. I'm saying you're more important than eating. You're more important than the breath I breathe. I need God in everything, every aspect of my life. So, Lord, I'll start the year by fasting, and then throughout the year, there'll be other days of fasting. Because I want to stay in tune with God. It's more important to me than anything else in my life is staying in tune with God. We all face battles. We all fight a fight of faith. We all have times that you probably don't even feel saved. And you need this spiritual nourishment, this spiritual food that God gives. You need to set the course today because you don't know what's going to happen throughout the rest of this year. How it might affect you if you're not steadfast, unmovable with God. And this helps you get there. So we don't know what it holds. We don't know the future, but God does. So we set the course today. We started it yesterday. The fasting prepares our heart for the whatevers of this year. Whatever may come my way, fasting sets the course. It'll help me overcome any obstacle. It'll allow me to be an overcomer throughout this year. I don't know what you might face, but God does. So this will set the course for the rest of your year, what you do in this next few days. How you approach it. How sacred it is to you. There's something out on the bulletin board, and it says this, and I may get it wrong, but it says something like this. If fasting doesn't mean anything to you, then it doesn't mean anything to God. Can I take it a step further? If your life don't mean anything to you, then it doesn't mean anything to God. Wait a minute, that's harsh, preacher. No, if you don't care enough to get close to God, you don't care enough about seeking God, then God's going to say, okay, you want to set your own course? You want to do it your own way? Go ahead. Go ahead. See if you can do it without me. Church, we're supposed to be Christians. And as Christians, we lean on the Lord. We rely upon Him. We follow Him. We read His Word and we obey His Word because we are Christians. So fasting is going to help set our course this year. You could carry this even further by obeying what the Bible says. They're out there in the foyer today. We have a Bible reading plan. It's simple, just so many scriptures every day throughout the year, and towards the end of the year, you'll finish reading the Bible completely through. It's not hard. It takes about 15 minutes a day. If you're a slow reader, maybe take you a couple hours. I don't know. But anyway, it won't take all that long to read a Bible through. And last year, I bogged down when I got to Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of those. I started bogging down. But you'll bog down sometime, but just keep on reading the Word of God. The David said, Thy Word I have hidden in thy heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. So we hide His Word in our heart. So we can carry this further by obeying the Bible in the first part of every week by church attendance. You mean it's in the Bible? Yeah, read Hebrews. Talks about going to church. Read it. It's there. And the first part, by giving the first part of every dollar, your tithe, that's a 10% of your income to the church. That's the minimum that God requires. It's in the Word. And it's carried through into the New Testament. It's not just an Old Testament practice. It's carried through into the New Testament. And making God the first consideration of your every decision. We make decisions sometimes based upon our wants, our desires, or somebody else's wants and desires, and we never ask God, God, what do you think? How should I go? What direction should I go? What should I do? We fail to ask Him. Make God a part of every consideration. You're thinking about changing jobs this year? Ask God about it. If you're single here today and you're thinking about getting married, ask God about it. Amen? Find out what God thinks. If you're going to buy a new car this year, ask God if it's the right time to buy a car. He'll tell you. I know that from personal experience. I know that from disobeying Him and how bad a shape I got because of it. Listen to what He says. He'll talk to you if you're in tune with Him. So first off, we set the course. Secondly, the reason we fast, because blessings will happen for you and your family throughout the year because you fasted in January. You set the course, and so blessings begin to follow you. They'll follow you in January, maybe in June, July, August. There'll be things happen in your life because you set the course at the first of the year by fasting. You may look back, and it might be next year before you realize, wow, I remember this problem, and I came through it. You all of a sudden realize that God came through for you, right? When you're maybe sitting around a Thanksgiving dinner, ready to munch down on all those goodies, and you'll think, wow, hasn't God been good to me this year? I remember when this happened, and God brought me through it. I remember when I got sick and thought I was going to die, and God brought me through it. I remember when my marriage looked like it was going to fall apart, but God brought restoration. I remember when my world fell apart because of the death of a loved one, but yet here I am a year later, and I'm still serving God. There's no telling what you're going to look back on next year and say, well, look what God done. We'll be saying, look what the Lord has done. And then some of those blessings you'll recognize immediately. Some of them you won't recognize till next year, and all of a sudden there they'll be, and you'll be glad that you started the year out right this year. And 2015, actually before that, but 2015, this last year, my wife and I won't go into detail about it, we determined in our heart there's a specific thing we were going to do, and if I tell you what it was, you'll think I'm boasting, but I want to tell you, we determined that we were going to do a certain thing. And it was a financial thing that's going to benefit us. It'll benefit us in our future should the Lord tarry. And so we've set our hearts for that this year. And bless the Lord, He has provided for us above and beyond what we could ask or think. We got to figuring up. It was a financial deal. And we got to figuring up, and it was thousands of dollars. And we didn't make any more money, basically, here at the church. But we were able to allocate money to this particular project. Actually, it's paying our mortgage off. You think, well, preacher, you're an old man. You ought to have your house paid. Well, things don't happen the way we think they should sometimes. Okay, bad decisions or good, just whatever the decision. And we have got our house. I'm just going to tell you, we worked real hard this year, and we paid our house down to just about four payments. By April, we're going to be debt-free. And we're excited about that. Well, except for my tractor. God is good. But we had to work at that. And we paid multiple payments that we don't know where the money... We're looking back, like, where'd that come from? How was we able to do that? We were able to pay it down. Almost $30,000 this year. And we don't, you know, that's a lot for us. But God made a way. My point is, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. I'm talking about, but see, I want to throw this in for you, though, just so you know. It started a long time ago. Our faithfulness started 40 years ago. It didn't just happen this year. You see, we've been faithfully serving God 40 years, over 40. We've attended church every Sunday, Wednesday, revivals, Sunday school, all of it, every time. The doors were open, we were there. Not just when we were in this church the last 25 years, but when we were in church before that. All of our existence, we went to church. We participated in the offerings, the tithe. We give. When they'd take an offering, we'd always give. I've gave my last dollar, and God would provide gas money for me during the week. And that's a fact. Didn't know how I was going to go to work, but I gave my last $5 and I put gas in my car all week long. That's how God operates. He's done that for us. So this thing that's happened to us didn't just happen. It's because we've done our best to live faithfully for God for years. And there's others of you here today can testify to the same thing. How God has been faithful. So setting the course, blessings will happen throughout the year because you fasted in January. And there's a third point, and it's probably the most powerful point here, and it won't take me near as long to get on this. But this third point is simply this. When you fast at the beginning of the year, you release that principle that is in Matthew the 6th chapter in the 33rd verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. What things? These things you need in your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. God begins to bless you in specific ways that are specific to your specific need. Did I use the word specific enough for you? He makes the way where there doesn't seem to be a way according to the need that is presented in your life. What is it you need? God presents the need, makes the way. He meets the need that is presented to Him in your life. Because you sought first God. You put Him first. He adds these things to your life. He meets your need. He takes care of your particular problem, whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to add something here. You're going to have to release some faith. You're going to have to believe something for a change. Take God at His word. He'll meet these needs. So, you might be asking, well, what exactly is fasting, preacher? I need to know what it is. And I know we all have this idea that fasting is just doing without food. Well, fasting is not just merely doing without food. That would be doing without food for a period of time. That would be called dieting. Maybe even starving. But fasting, it's not. Fasting is something it's not something just done by fanatics. It's not just done by monks alone somewhere in a cave. It's not just done limited just by for ministers on special occasions. It's for everybody, and biblically fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. You're not going to take on this fast just because you want to lose a little bit of weight. You're not going to do this because, you know, it'll make you look better in the eyes of your spouse or somebody else at the church. No, you're doing this for a spiritual purpose. And that spiritual purpose is going to be something that will benefit you in the long run. It'll benefit your entire family, but basically it's going to benefit you if you seek first God at the beginning of this year. Seek first God. Seek first His kingdom. At the beginning of this year, it's going to benefit you spiritually. You're fasting. You're refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Anyway, I got some other stuff to say. I better wait. Fasting has always been a normal part of your relationship with Christ, with God. It's always been a normal part of a relationship with God. Yes, it has too. You go all through the Bible, there's fasting and prayer, all through the Bible. All through the Bible, they fasted and they prayed. And not a one of them really did without that long. God always blessed them. He always blessed them. Fasting brings a person into more intense, deeper, and more intimate and more powerful relationship with God. When you really fast and you pray and you seek God, you'll get closer to God. You'll have a deeper, more powerful, more intense, more intimate relationship with God than you've ever had in your life. How many of you have fasted with us every year can attest to that? That you have grown closer to God during the fast. And that has carried over the rest of the year. You didn't just get close to Him during the fast, but you grew closer to Him throughout the entire year. It works that way. If you'll be sincere. Now, if you're not sincere, it's probably not going to work real well for you. You'll probably get frustrated here in about 10 days. It's easy to do when you're doing without something that you love, something that you think you've got to have. But fasting will cause you, your entire perspective to change. Everything you think begins to change when you get spiritual. Now, I'm not talking about being so spiritually minded you're no good, no earthly good. But I tell you what, you can be spiritually minded and you're much good for the earth. You're much good for those around you. You're doing what God asks you to do. You're doing it in the way He asks you to do. We sang a song, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. We sing that, boy, we just, you know, just kind of, oh yeah. Do you mean it? Do we mean it? Fasting is a way to prove that you mean it. Lord, I'm going to go and do and say what you want me to say. I'm going to consecrate my life to you because I love you. And I realize that fasting is a secret source of power that many overlook. It's a secret source of power. We need the power of God in our lives. When you eliminate food from your diet for a number of days, your spirit becomes uncluttered by the things of this world and more sensitive to the things of God. When you get your mind off of all this worldly stuff, and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're laying aside this food for a few days, or you're giving up something for God, and now, not just giving up, you're going to have to pray and seek God during this process too. But you begin to do that, and man, things begin to change within you. Now, may I suggest to you that you don't try to change those around you, other than by being a good witness. Don't tell them, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you should be like this. Let them see the change that comes over you because of the spiritual depth that you are achieving because of your fast. Make them hungry for what you've got. And you can do that. Psalms 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep. When you get closer to God, you get deeper in Him. Deeper in God. And your mind becomes more and more uncluttered. You become more sensitive. And you get closer to the Lord. And it makes it easier to resist sin, easier to be an overcomer, easier to recognize when the devil's presenting you something that you don't need, when this world is offering things that would hinder you. When you fast and hunger and thirst after God, your natural desire for food begins, you lose some of that natural desire for food because you are getting closer to God. You want more of God, so you're not just, you know, most of you, a lot of you don't do this, but some of us, I mean, I get up in the morning, my mind is on what am I going to eat for breakfast. I get through with breakfast and my mind is what are we having for lunch. I finish lunch, I think, I wonder what supper's going to bring. But when I get, y'all not like that? Why am I? I'm constantly, where are we going for lunch? What are we going to do for lunch today? I'll get up in the morning and want to know that. Where are we going for lunch? But when I get close to God, it becomes a place where it's not as important to me anymore. And it shouldn't be. We shouldn't be ruled by our flesh, whatever that desire is, whether it's food or sex or money or whatever it might be. We should be ruled by the things and led by the Spirit of God. So when you get closer to God, you begin to cry out from your spirit unto God, and He begins to hear you, and He'll help you in every trial you come through. I don't care what it is. The Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. Makes you endure. He that endureth to the end, what? Shall be saved. This helps you get there. Helps you understand that you are an overcomer. You see, once you glimpse into the intimacy that you can have with God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Creator of this universe, and the countless rewards that blessings that follow Him, follow you because of that, your whole perspective changes. When you realize if I get closer to God, that means I have more power with God, more pull with God, because God sees the sincerity of my heart, then I know that things are going to be different. Perhaps, and I'll go there in a little bit probably. But anyway, fasting is a power that people soon realize when you start that there's a secret source of power that's overlooked by many that comes from fasting and prayer. You want to live mediocre? Don't fast with us this week. You want to stay the same? Just don't fast. You've got all you want of God? Well, then maybe you've got all, you know, you're where you need to be. And I tell you, folks, I found out over the last 40 years that I can never get more of God than I need. I can never get all I need. He's my source of strength, my help, my ever-present help in every time of struggle. So that's what is fasting. We're setting aside, we're refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Why do we fast? I'm glad you ask. Well, during the years that Jesus walked on the earth, He devoted time to teaching His disciples the principles of the kingdom of God, the principles that conflict with this world. Everything Jesus taught conflicted with the world's viewpoint. And it still does today. This word will conflict with the world's viewpoint on most everything. In Matthew the sixth chapter that we've been reading from or read briefly from, Jesus gave us a pattern to live by as a child of God. He gave us this pattern. And it addresses three specific areas of a believer's life. First off, it says, Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. You want to begin to walk in the fullness of the Word of God and the blessings of God and the pattern that Jesus wants to. He says, first off, it starts with your giving, with your praying, with your fasting. You want to get to where you need to be in God, you got to give. Give, and it shall be given. You've got to pray. Jesus prayed a lot and taught His disciples that prayer was key. And then you fast. You want spiritual breakthrough in your life? You fast for it. You have a need in a family member's life? You fast. You've got a problem that you can't seem to overcome, an obstacle that looks too large for you? You fast and pray. You seek God about it. Maybe that's why we don't have this power that we want or need in our lives and in our churches, and why things aren't changing is because we refuse to follow God's pattern that was given by Jesus to the disciples. He made it clear that fasting and prayer and giving were a normal part of a Christian's life. If you're letting down on any one of those parts, you're not living a normal part of a Christian life. It's important that you learn that Solomon wrote that a cord in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, that a cord or a rope braided together with three strands is not easily broken. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. He wrote that there. Likewise, giving, praying, fasting are practiced by a believer together. They combine to create a type of threefold cord that's not easily broken. When you do what God says, you bring the fasting and the prayer and the giving, you are creating a rope or a cord that cannot be easily broken. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. He instructed us to do that. You can fail to do whatever you want to fail to do. When you pray, you might consider it like this. Let me stop and read my notes. Can I do that? I'm getting ahead of myself. But could it be we're missing our greatest breakthrough because we fail to fast? Is anybody here need a breakthrough? Am I the only one? How many has health issues? You need a breakthrough. Have a financial problem? You need a breakthrough. Have a relationship problem? You need a breakthrough. Have a child running amok? You need a breakthrough. We all need breakthrough at one time or another. Needs God to do something that we can't do. That we've exhausted all, everything. We've exhausted everything we know. It's time to turn to God. Let God do it. So, you remember the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold that Jesus talked about over in Mark, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, 20th verse, all through there, it talked about that. Well, could it be that when you pray, you release the 30-fold return? You're getting a portion of what God has offered you, this return on your investment. But could it be when you pray and give, you release the 60-fold return? You're getting a little bit more of what God has offered you and promised you. But could it be when we fast, pray, and give that we are releasing the 100-fold return that can now be released upon our life? We can see God move in a magnificent, marvelous way because we begin to follow the pattern laid out by Jesus. And I know some of you probably not going to receive this today. You're going to blow it off as not important. But I can guarantee you, I guarantee you, I know it's important. And I believe if you'll practice this, you'll find out it's important. But could it be because we don't practice this according to the Word of God? We don't have the blessings of God released in our life the way we need them. I, for one, want everything God has for me. I need it. I desire it. I want to walk in it. I want to experience what God has. And I can tell you from experience, I still haven't received everything God has. I have not received a full portion of God's glory and anointing in my life. I've received portions of it, but not a full portion. I received glimpses of it, but not a full revelation. And I would like to get to a place that when we lay hands on the sick, they do recover. I'd like to get to a place that when we pray the prayer of faith, something really changes. But it's not going to happen if we don't get serious about our relationship with God and begin to do what Jesus Christ tells us to do. Give, pray, fast so that you can have the 100-fold return that's promised in His Word or life. What prayers do you have that's not been answered? What bondages are you walking in that have not been broken? What are you going through? Do you want release? Do you want victory? I do. But it's going to take consecration. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take obedience to the Word of God. You see, Matthew 17 tells us a story of a demon-possessed boy. Most of you's read these stories and know them, but for years his family had watched helplessly as he would, he had suffered several convulsions. He would throw himself into the open fire or into a trench of water. He would do these things, and his family were helpless. There was a suicidal spirit about this young man constantly. And his situation was becoming more and more life-threatening as the days went on. His father had almost gave up, but he heard about Jesus. So he took his young son, his son, to Jesus' disciples. Well, not this is another one that, it's the same one. But he took him to his disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. So he heard that Jesus was coming near, so he, Matthew 17, verses 15 and 16, he came close to Jesus, and he cried out to Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. One passage of scripture says he's a lunatic. That's what the King James says, he's a lunatic, and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire, and often into water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." When the boy was brought to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the demons, and it came, the demon, and it came out of him. And he was cured from that very hour. And what made the difference, you might ask? Well, I'm going to tell you what the difference was. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, we have a recording where it says that Jesus had given his disciples all power. He had given them the power to cast out demons and to heal every disease. Why couldn't they do it, you might ask? Why couldn't they cast out this demon and cure this boy? Well, this is what Jesus had to say about it. He said, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Most of us would look at that scripture, and we have quoted that scripture, and we stopped right there, "And nothing shall be impossible to you." And we think, why doesn't God move on my behalf? Why doesn't God heal my loved one? Why doesn't God do this or do that? Well, here's why. Because we leave out the however. And the Bible says, Jesus said, however, it only happens by fasting and prayer. You can say the mountain be removed, and you can believe all you want, but if you've not fasted, and you've not prayed, you've not released the power, and you've not released the faith that you need to see that need met. He says, however, this kind goeth out except by fasting and prayer. You need faith. You need even the faith as little as a mustard seed. But you need to fast. And you need to pray. Can we look at it like this? Maybe the fasting and the prayer is the water that causes that little seed to germinate in the ground of faith. Have you ever planted something in the middle of a drought? Dug your trench, dropped in the seed, covered it up with water, and waited for it to sprout? It normally won't do it unless you put some water on it. It won't sprout. It won't live. It has to have moisture. And maybe we need to pray and fast and put moisture upon that prayer and upon that need and upon that faith. Just supposing. Jesus said you have to have faith as a grain of mustard seed, but this kind of faith only comes by prayer and fasting. Maybe you have a loved one that's not saved. It comes by prayer and fasting. Long before this incident, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says after he was baptized in Jordan by John that the Spirit of the Lord lit upon him, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And immediately after that, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, drove Jesus into the wilderness. And he stayed there 40 days and 40 nights without any type of food. Nothing at all. He went out for 40 days and 40 nights and ate nothing. However, this kind comes not but by fasting and prayer. For Jesus, casting out the stubborn devil wasn't impossible. It wasn't impossible to him. If Jesus could have accomplished all he did without fasting and prayer, why did he fast? If he could have done it being the Son of God without fasting, why did he fast? That's a good question, isn't it? If the Son of God knew that there were supernatural things that could only be done by and released through fasting and prayer, how much more should we fast and pray? If he knew it could only be released through fasting, then we may need to take note that we're not going to see certain things happen until we fast, until we pray and seek God the way we ought to. So, should not fasting become a common part of our lives? A common part of that. Maybe you're thinking today that I don't think fasting's really right for me. Not really something I need to do. Well, fasting is for everyone. We're not asking you in our fast to even fast 3 days and three nights without food. We're not asking you to do that. Although if you wish to do that, you can. I've went a week before with this juice and water. Worked a job where I lifted 40 pounds bottles of water, 100 to 150 of them a day. I did that. It took the Lord's help to make it. But I was seeking God's will in my life, and I was sincere. And God showed me what he wanted me to do. I was glad to have an answer at the end of that week. Because I was ready to eat a hamburger, drink a Dr. Pepper, two hamburgers and two Dr. Peppers. According to Jesus, it's every believer's duty to fast. Every disciple and every believer ought to fast. When addressing the Pharisees in Luke, the 33rd chapter, the 34th through the 34 and 35, regarding why his disciples didn't fast, Jesus replied to them, "Can you make friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they shall fast?" They hadn't started fasting yet, but they started as soon as Jesus left. Then they will fast. We are disciples of Christ. He's not here right now. We ought to be fasting and praying as oft as we can. I have one pastor friend. He fasts every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, that's his fast day. He does it 52 weeks a year. May not be such a bad idea for your pastor. He fasts oft. That's a lot to me. 52 times a year, 52 days without food. You know, I haven't noticed him doing without. I've noticed his church does well. Things go well in his life. He's always up, always chipper, always full of victory. I believe it has something to do with his dedication to the Lord and that he fasts. Jesus didn't expect his disciples to do something he didn't do. He fasted. He gave them an example. Fact is, Peter said this concerning Jesus in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 21st verse. I've got to hurry, don't I? I'm almost done. He says, "For even here unto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." We should follow his steps. I know Peter was talking about persecution and things of that nature, but yet we should follow the steps of Jesus. And he fasted. Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his master or his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Jesus taught them to fast, and he taught them to pray. Had we not ought to give, fast, and pray? Looking back at Matthew 6:16 and 18, we see that God delights in giving rewards. Not only that, he says that when giving, praying, and fasting are practiced in your life, he will reward you openly. He said, when you give and you do things secretly, I'll reward you openly for it. Another place it tells us when we fast to wash our face, comb our hair, put on our nice clothes, don't act like you're fasting, don't let anybody know what you're doing. Just fast and pray and seek God. When we fast the way we do, it's hard to hide it. Because you go, and I used to go to executive meetings and meetings in Oklahoma City, and when I was fasting, they'd all look at me and say, well, Pastor Dennis, where can we go eat today? What can you eat? I had 5 friends on that board. Not a one of them would join me in that fast. Not a one of them ever said, we're going to fast the first 21 days of the year with you, preacher. But they'd all, when I'd go to a meeting, say, where can we go eat that you can have something to eat, Stone? It's kind of like, well, you're sure a burden to us. I didn't try to hide it. I didn't try to make a deal. I said, guys, wherever you want to go, I'll find something to eat. Or I'll do without. It's no big deal. Oh, no, we want to go where you can eat. I said, well, okay, let's go to Mackey's down there on Western. They got a lot of vegetables. You do what you got to do. Please God. He expects us to fast. And he'll give us rewards. In Daniel, the 10th chapter. I'm going to get ready to close here in the next few minutes. I didn't say I was closing. I said I'm going to get ready to. In Daniel, the 10th chapter, Daniel had fasted and prayed for 21 days. 21 days. He had not ate sweets. He had not ate meat. He had not drank wine. He had fasted, he had prayed, he had sought God. He was looking for an answer to a specific dream, revelation that he had got from God. And he didn't know what it meant. And he wanted to know what it meant and how to write it down. And it took 21 days for him to get the answer. He was grieved, he was burdened. And he wanted to know what God was saying concerning Israel. And he wanted to know what to say. And the Bible says that God has sent an angel to him. And it had taken that angel 3 weeks to get there because he was delayed by the prince of Persia. And he couldn't get there to bring the answers. But on the 21st day, his fast broke the power of the prince of Persia. And the delayer was removed, and the answer came. You say, preacher, I prayed 2 days about that, and God hadn't told me nothing. You might need to pray 21 days. It might roll on to 42 days. You may end up going about 64 days. I don't know, a year or 2 years, waiting on an answer to a specific problem. But I want to tell you something today. If you'll be sincere with God, the answer is on the way. Satan don't want you to get your answer. He doesn't want you to have your breakthrough. He doesn't want you to walk victorious. So he'll do everything he can to prevent it. But God is greater. If you'll fast and pray, you'll have your breakthrough. You'll get your answer. It's on the way. I believe that. Are you bound today by some addiction or past failure? Do you need spiritual, mental, or physical help today? Do you have a major decision for 2016? Are you just burdened down this morning? Or do you want to lead an overcoming, victorious life? Then may I suggest that you fast. Are you ready for more of God? Then maybe you need to fast and pray and give. Regardless of the need, fasting is for you today. Regardless. Sometimes, one of the editors of Charisma magazine wrote this concerning fasting. She says, sometimes you have to do something unusual, extraordinary, and beyond norm to see breakthrough. Normal church, normal Christianity, normal preaching, normal praying, or not getting the job done. Some sweet little prayer is not going to do. Religion will not get it done. It's going to take an anointing that destroys the yoke. When you fast, the anointing increases in your life because you are in the Spirit. The authority of God, power of God, and faith of God comes alive when you lay aside some things and fast. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Now I wanted to read that to you. It says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. It is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, is it not? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Can you believe that? If you choose to fast the way God needs you to fast. We fast for spiritual breakthrough and revival. For our family and our loved ones. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." It goes on to say, "to the pulling down of strongholds." That's why we fast. To see things happen. To see lives transformed. To see people healed. To see revival come back into the church. To see things change in all of our lives. Would you stand?